like to read in the Gospel by Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. At chapter 7 of Luke. And verse 39. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth me, for she is a sinner. Verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Now the book of the Acts and chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 24. And they prayed and said, thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. A final verse in 2 Timothy, chapter 1 this time. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And the Lord will bless what we have heard, and trust help us to preach the gospel further from these scriptures that we have read together tonight. I would like to speak again on the great theme of the greatest thing that you could ever receive, and that is salvation. There's nothing greater in this world than God's salvation. Some people think education is the greatest. And we live in a world where many are educated. We don't find fault with education. But education is not the most important thing. The most important thing in one's life is to be right with God, to know where they're going for eternity, because we're only passing through. Life is but a brief moment. Life at best is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheep. The hymn writer says, be in time. Many intended to be in time, but yet they found out they were too late. The greatest thing that could ever happen to you would be the blessing of salvation. 42 years ago, God put this poor sinner from the way to hell and put him on the way to heaven. I didn't do it. A work of God. That's what salvation is. Now we read in Luke chapter 2 of a man called Simeon. It says he saw salvation. You say, mister, you preach, you don't see things. We don't see lights. We don't see strange things in the surrounding about us. But every person that's saved, we see salvation. Simeon saw salvation. What did he see? He saw God manifested in flesh in a baby. He saw Christ. And Christ is salvation. Salvation is not a theory. Salvation is a person. It's not baptism. It's not the sacrament. It's not doing the best you can. Salvation's all centered in God's beloved Son. Simeon saw him, and in seeing Christ, he saw salvation. Now, I never saw Christ in person, but I saw salvation. What do you mean? Listen carefully. I saw the truth that when Christ died upon the cross at Calvary, he died for me. That was salvation for me. The night that I found out Christ died for my sin, that moment, I was saved. You say, do you not get that? You never believed that before? Believed it all my life. I consented to the truth. Christ died for our sins. I have said, well, Christ died for my sins, but I'm not saved. But the night that I got salvation, I knew that Christ died for my sin according to the Word of God. And I knew I was saved. Was there a difference? There was. Because I trusted Him. And I stepped out by faith on the Word of God. And that's salvation. Simeon saw salvation. In Luke chapter 7, we read of a woman who experienced salvation. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Were her sins forgiven? The Bible says that she loved much. That's much sin. This woman was a sinner. Are you a sinner? Simon knew she was a sinner. She knew that she was a sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ knew that she was a sinner. Do you know tonight that you're a sinner? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The experience of salvation. We read of Judas Iscariot, a very solemn thing about this man in the Bible. The privileges that he had, the position he occupied, numbered as one of the 12 that followed the Lord Jesus through this scene for perhaps over 3 years. And yet, Judas Iscariot has been left in the pages of Scripture as a warning to you and me tonight. Judas missed salvation. Judas arrived in hell. Judas is in hell tonight. And he'll never be out of it. And let me tell you kindly, in the fear of God, in love to your soul, if you miss salvation, you will be in hell. According to the word of God, not gospel hall doctrine, not a doctrine of earth. My friend, it's in God's book. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire. What is salvation? Getting your name in the book of life. If you've got salvation, your name is there, and there's no atomic bomb or any other nuclear energy could ever blast it out. That's the salvation that God offers you tonight. Judas missed it. He had every opportunity of getting it. So do you in our meeting tonight. We firmly believe you could come in here, maybe never heard the gospel before, leave this building rejoicing in God's great salvation. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul had the knowledge of salvation. He says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul knew he was saved. He wasn't always saved. There's nobody in. Some people like to think that they were always saved. Many a person has told us, well, I was always saved. No such a thing. We were born in sin. We were shaped in iniquity. We're sinners by nature and practice. Did your parents teach you to sin? My parents never taught me to sin. But I sinned. Why? In bread. In the nature. For by one man, sin entered into the world. Death by sin, death is passed upon all men. Does that take you in tonight? For all have sinned. Paul had the knowledge of salvation. We mentioned one other night, a person needs two things in order to be saved. One is knowledge. You be saved? No. Simon Fraser? No. What knowledge? 1 Corinthians 15. Paul said, I deliver unto you that which also I received. What do you receive? How that Christ died for our sins. Paul believed that Christ died for his sin. He received Christ. That was salvation to him. That was his knowledge. Have you got that knowledge tonight? Christ died for your sin? What was the second thing? Faith to believe it or accept it. To take God at his word that Christ on the cross died for me. And God says the person that believes it, they'll never perish, they'll never be in hell, but they're the possessors of everlasting life. Ah, friend, tonight, There's nothing to be compared in this life, and nothing to be compared in the life hereafter. And God's great salvation, have you got? Is Christ your Savior? For he that hath the Son, the Bible says, hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God, hath not life. Now Simeon saw salvation. He saw the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This clearly teaches us that Christ is salvation. He's the most important person that ever was. He came into this scene as a man amongst men. He came for one purpose, in love to you, that you might be saved. God's salvation is all centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon saw salvation, and he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon saw salvation. He was an old man. God had promised him he wouldn't die until he had seen the Lord Christ. And then when he saw him, he wanted to die. Not too many people want to die. But just this year, in the month of April, I was visiting in Northern Ireland. And my dad, I was there one day, and he was in an old people, a senior citizen's home. The doctor came to examine him. I phoned the doctor, because I was leaving for Canada in less than 2 weeks. My dad was 89 years of age, and I wanted to know how long he would be here. The doctor examined him, and after he went out, I went out with the doctor, and I asked him, how long do you think my dad had? Well, he said, there's not a disease in his body. He's clear of all diseases. He says it's just old age that he had. Now he says, I'm not speaking of weeks or months, but it may go into years that he will live. I come in, and my dad and I talked. Then I left. I came back a few days, well, I was in every day. But a couple of days later when I went in, he said to me, I couldn't sleep last night. I said, were you sick? He said, no. He said, you know, I was thinking of that verse, that there was some Lord had on his desk where he worked. This is what the verse said. In peace, let me resign my breath on thy salvation seat. My sins deserved eternal death, but Jesus died for me. My, said, Dad, that's a good one. Yes, he said, I was enjoying it all night. Couldn't sleep. I went in a couple of days later. It was in every day, but this morning I went in, he was sleeping. I said, Dad, I come in to see you this morning. He says, I'm gone home. No, I says, you're not. But I talked to him. Not a word. I'm sorry now that I didn't ask him. What's your thought? What are you thinking about? He was in this world. He was thinking of going to be with Christ, which is far better. That was a Friday morning. I was in Saturday afternoon. He was feeling well. And I said, Dad, when I was leaving, I'll see you tomorrow. He said, all right. At 7 o'clock Saturday night, two of his sisters went in to see him. He told them he wanted to die. before I would leave for Canada in less than 2 weeks. They didn't think he was going to die. I got a phone call at 1:30 the next morning, 6 hours later. Your dad has passed away in his sleep. He wanted to die. He wanted to leave her. He knew where he was going. Heaven is a grand place. There's no sickness. There's no sorrow. There's no tears in heaven. But hell is dark. It's deep. It's awful. Turn poor sinner, turn and flee. Simeon saw salvation. I'm ready to depart. We read from Luke chapter 7. The forgiveness of sin, the greatest blessing possible. If it ever come your way, thank God it came mine. It could come your way tonight. The knowledge of sin is forgiven. The forgiveness of sin. The forgiver of sin. Who is it? The Lord Jesus Christ. The means of forgiveness. How can a person have the forgiveness of sin? By faith. What's faith? Taking God at His word and asking no questions. And what's the result of the forgiveness of sins, of the forgiver of one's sins, of faith in Christ to save the sinner? What's the result? The Lord Jesus said to this woman, go in peace. The hymn writer well penned the word, I have a peace as calm as a river. A peace that the friends of this world never knew. My Savior alone is its author and giver. Oh, that my Savior were your Savior too. You see, some people get something that's precious. They don't want to share it with anybody. But friend, we've got the one that's most precious. The Lord Jesus Christ. There's sufficient value in His blood that was shed on Calvary. To deliver every sinner that they may have the forgiveness of their sins. Would you like your sins forgiven tonight? You may think, well, some other time might be all right. If that's your attitude, they won't be forgiven tonight. How did this woman know her sins were forgiven? Did she pray for it? No. We don't even read that she asked for the forgiveness of sins. But she came to Simon's house and she washed the feet of the Lord Jesus and wiped them with the hairs of her head. And Simon knew that she was a sinner and she knew that she was a sinner. And the Lord Jesus gave them a little parable of two debtors. One owed 50 pence. The other owed 500. One owed 10 times more than the other. But whenever they had nothing to pay with, he frankly forgave them both. And he said to Simon, which of these two will love him most? He said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. He answered right. The woman was a 500 pence debtor. Simon was only the 50 pence debtor. But they were both debtors, weren't they? There's greater sinners than you in the world. But friend, if you're not saved, whether you're a 50 pence debtor or a 500 pence debtor, you're a debtor. You're a sinner. Thy sins be forgiven thee. How did you know? Did you see a cloud flying? No. There's only one way of knowing. The Lord Jesus said it. Did you need any more proof? What about you tonight? You see, before I was saved, that bothered me. How does a person know they're saved? I believe the Bible. In Ireland, we used to fight for the Bible. Am I saved? No, I'm not saved. Didn't feel nothing. But the night that I got God's salvation, nobody there to tell me, but I knew. Soon as my all I ventured on Christ's atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered, and I was born of God. Friend, it's a real thing to be seen. I could have read Acts chapter 8. The enjoyment of salvation. Whenever the eunuch got saved, it says he went on his way rejoicing. I've been rejoicing for over 42 years. Oh, I've had rough spots in my life. Wasn't all plain sailing. I know. Sometimes pretty hard. But yet, peace with God. As our brother mentioned about his father, I can lay my head on the pillow every night. Whether I waken in time or in eternity, there's a lot of things I don't know. But there's one thing I do know. It's well with my soul. How is it tonight? With your soul? We read of Acts chapter 1, Judas missed salvation. Wouldn't it be a solemn thing if there was one in our company here tonight and you would miss salvation? You wouldn't get saved. You would land in hell. But you see, we're living in a day when people don't want to accept the truth that there is a hell. But in God's book, that's the Bible, the only book that tells us that there is. No other book in all the world can tell us the truth of a hell at the end of the Christ rejecter's life. No other book can tell us of a heaven. Men's opinions, they're not worth a snap of your finger. One little fellow said to his uncle, his name was Johnny. Little Johnny said to his uncle, he said, there is no hell. His uncle Johnny was a Christian. He said, there is a hell. Well, he said, the preacher down the street says there's no hell. Ah, yeah, but he said, Johnny, there is a hell. And then he came out with the truth. He says, Uncle Johnny, I wish there wasn't any hell. You see, there's many tonight and likely in this meeting, and you wish there was no hell. Why? So that you can do what you like, and nothing will bother you and get away with it. Be sure your sin will find you out. Judas Iscariot could have been in heaven, but he's not. And he'll never be there. Judas is in hell. Why? Because he missed salvation. He could have been saved. You can be saved tonight. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says thou shalt be saved. For God so loved the world. Not trees and rocks. And grass. The world of lost sinners. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless one, who did no sin, who could not sin, yet he died for sin. Who sins? My sins. What about yours tonight? God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, in Christ alone, should not perish, should not go down to hell, but have everlasting life. That's where I come in. I believe God. What about you tonight? The hymn writer penned the words, "Oh, dreadful thought, in hell to burn, never to come back anymore." Isn't that a dreadful thought? The devil would seek to steal away the seed. Friend, consider your whereabouts for eternity. A heaven to gain, a hell to shun, a substitute provided. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There's a substitute. The simplicity of salvation. That whosoever believeth in him, the satisfaction, should not perish, should never be in hell. I've got it. Have you got it? Don't rest, friend, until you do, for his name's sake shall be praised.